this New Year's week on Out of the Air features owner and CEO of South Bend's full-service video production and marketing production company, TJ Jorgensen, who has a gift for telling the stories that matter. Next, oil artist Becky Canine, whose whimsical creations develop their own stories. Our spotlights on the return of the Tomfoolery Fun Club with events on January 31st and their Valentine's Day event on February 14th.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.
Welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air on Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM, WVLP 103.1 FM, our weekly program covering the arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art on the Air. Art on the Air is heard every Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM, also streaming live at lakeshorepublicmedia.org. and is available on Lakeshore Public Media's website as a podcast. Also heard on Friday at 11 a.m. and Monday at 5 p.m. on WVLP 103.1 FM, streaming live at WVLP.org. Our spotlight interviews are also heard Wednesdays on Lakeshore Public Media. Information about Art on the Air is available at our website, breck.com/AOTA. That includes a complete show archive, spotlight interviews, plus our show is available on multiple podcast platforms, including NPR One. Please like us on Facebook, Art on the Air, WVLP, for information about upcoming shows and interviews. And we'd like to welcome back to Art on the Air Spotlight, and they're coming back again to share about bringing back the Tomfoolery Fun Club, who's been kind of on hiatus for a while, Tom Bielek and, of course, Miss Michelle Biscoll. And we'd love to have them talk about what's coming up in the new year. There are a couple of events going in. And also, Tom, Michelle, welcome back to Art on the Air Spotlight.
Hi, Larry.
It's always so joyful to see both of you.
Likewise. Thank you so much. Thanks for having us.
Oh, I'll always love to have it. And I also give you a shout out that you always online share any post I do. So I appreciate whichever one of you clicks that through, and I always see that it's been accepted. We appreciate the coverage of our show. So you've been on hiatus with Tomfoolery for just a little while, but you've got two events coming up in 2026. So let's talk about those.
Okay, well, terrific. Well, you're right. We do have two events coming up. We've last couple of years, we've just done one or two events. And this coming January, February, we have two events in a span of 3 weeks. So we're going to be really busy.
Yes.
Lots of laughing.
Absolutely. We'll be at the Croatian Sons Lodge in Merrillville on January 31st. It's the first time for us at that venue. Beautiful venue, beautiful space. Seats about 250 people, beautiful stage. And we've got a great lineup of talent, some comedy and live music. And it's that time of year where people need to get out and laugh.
Yes. And we have some of our favorites. We have Mike Palmendary joining us at the Croatian Sons Lodge. Also, Marcy, the one and only Deloney, is joining us. And then Vince Carone. So definitely be ready to kick off 2026 with some laughs at that show for sure.
So what's the seating capacity at that venue?
It's just about 250, so we'll have a nice crowd for sure. Already sold some tickets, and we look for a full house. Going to be a good time.
So new faces in the lineup?
Let's see. New faces? All three of these comedians have been with us before, but it's been a while. You know, we haven't done that many shows in the last couple of years, Esther. So Vince is, he's never really appeared in the region. He's been with us in Michigan City and in Lockport, Illinois. But this will be his first time, and he's high energy. Oh my gosh, he's terrific. He travels all over the country, and we're very fortunate to have him on board, as with Marcy and Michael.
Yes, and the band is new to us. Dave and Dave is a new band. We've not had them in any of our shows previously.
Terrific. Yeah, Dave and Dave, new and classical alternative rock, so they'll bring the musical variety to the show.
Excellent. Now, you have another one, which has actually become an annual event at the Oryx Shrine on Valentine's Day. Tell us all about that one.
That's right. Yeah, Valentine's Day. This is on Valentine's Day for the first time. We're back at the Oryx Shrine in Michigan City. This is our, Michelle, was it our sixth or seventh time out there?
Yes, at least six. I think we've lost track of that.
Sure have. But a completely different lineup of talent. Vic Pandya, Cam Rowe, and Jeannie Dugan will be the comedy. And the group Inertia will bring some top 40 flavor to it, so people get an opportunity to get up and dance a little bit during the intermissions and after the show.
So, Tom, are you and Miss Michelle going out to places and finding these people, or are they finding you? I'm sure it's a combination, but...
A combination, right? Of course, Cam Rowe, we saw him up in Michigan this past summer, right?
Yes, we did make an effort to go to a comedy club in Saugatuck. We like an annual Saugatuck trip every summer to Michigan in July, and we happened to get some tickets, and he was there, and he was quite funny. So Tom worked a deal with him to get him on the show.
Excellent. Well, besides tomfoolery, and then when we get to the end of the interview, we'll recap that. But your second book, Road to Nowhere, I Ride Safely. How's that going, Tom?
Well, we're just short of a million sold. Probably about 999,000 sold, short of a million. But we're not quite on the New York Times bestseller list. In fact, I don't even know if we're on the Hammond Times bestseller list yet. We might be on the Hammond Times best giveaway list because we give away a lot of copies. It's fun to just kind of give them to people who we feel might be able to benefit from it.
Sure.
What is this about, a film? Don't Play Umpire?
Oh my gosh, we're getting all over the place here. Well, let me finish up the book. We had a sequel to my first book, and it's called We Traveled the Road to Nowhere. And Miss Michelle authored one of the chapters in the book. And a lot of different people penned a chapter because everybody's got a different story to tell about their career faux pas, career blunders, and lessons learned.
Wonderful.
So tell us about the Don't Play Umpire, that you're in production of that. Tell us where your status is on that.
Well, that's still sort of out there right now. We're working on a screenplay for a movie based on a documentary that we did a few years ago about my Little League baseball team. And somebody said, this might make a nice live-action movie. So we decided to embark on that. So first time for everything, never wrote a screenplay. Don't know how to write a screenplay. Hey, if it was that hard, nobody could do it.
But you have the heart of the story. So that's probably one of the best parts of that is just now you need to figure out how to make the, instead of talking elements, into the visual element. Because, you know, a picture shot, like an establishing shot and everything like that can really hit that. So
we do have a treatment, and we have it copyrighted with the Library of Congress. So we've kind of gone through the necessary steps, but we just need to get some script together and then figure out who can film it for us.
Excellent. Well, in our final minute here, we want to recap the tomfoolery offerings you have, where they can get tickets and where they're at and dates and such.
Sure. Our January show is going to be at the Croatian Sons Lodge 170 at 8550 Taft Street in Maryville, Indiana. And tickets could be gotten on our website, tomfoolerifunclub.com.
That's tomfoolerifunclub.com.
And the second show is going to be our very special Valentine's Day show. And that is going to be at the Oryx Shrine. That's a fundraiser for the Oryx Shrine. And that's just for Valentine's Day, February 14th. And that is also tickets available at tomfoolerifunclub.com.
What I just said.
Well, we appreciate you. That's Tom Bylak and Miss Michelle Biscoe at tomfoolerifunclub.com. Thank you so much for coming on Art of the Air Spotlight and sharing everything that's going on.
Thanks, Larry. Thank you, Esther.
Thank you.
Always fabulous.
Always our pleasure.
Art on the Air Spotlight and the complete one-hour program on Sunday is brought to you by Ember Forge Consulting, thoughtful marketing and digital learning built to express your purpose and grow your reach. Learn more at emberforgeconsulting.com/grow. And as a reminder, if you'd like to have your event on Art on the Air Spotlight or have a longer feature interview, email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck.com.
Hi there, this is Public Radio theme composer BJ Lederman, and you're listening to Art on the Air on Lakeshore Public Media 89.1 FM. And on WVLP 103.1 FM.
We are pleased to welcome TJ Jorgensen to Art on the Air. TJ is the founder of TJ21 Media Group, an award-winning media marketing firm specializing in cinematic video, web design, digital marketing, and powerful brand storytelling. He has built his reputation over more than four decades. He was also deeply involved in the Big Brothers and Big Sisters organization. He became involved with Street Kids Softball, then started the outreach program Street Kids Care. TJ was inducted into the National Softball Association Baseball Players Association Hall of Fame in 2024. He has worked with Shireen Klein to produce a video spot for her For the Love of Art Fair in South Bend, Indiana on February 7th and 8th of 2026. Thank you for joining us on Art on the Air. Aloha and welcome, TJ. Very wonderful meeting you.
Hi, Esther. It's great to meet you as well.
Well, TJ, how we like to start off our interviews is get your background story. I call it your origin story. So how did you get from where you were to where you are now? So tell us all about TJ.
Thanks, Larry. Well, you know, my story isn't exciting. it's not your typical story, but it's also, it's got a pretty cool fairy tale story to it. Like many entrepreneurs, it has a great backstory. I started out very young and poor, just me and my sister and my mother. She was single, had five jobs just to try to keep a little bit of food on the table. And one thing she always taught me was let my ambition guide me. And I always remember that. And I use that as my kind of my guiding tool throughout not only my childhood, but into early adulthood. I grew up in originally Benton Harbor, Michigan, and then Berrien Springs. And it's little by little, I moved south. And I spent a lot of my time, high school, college, and things like that in Berrien Springs. And then eventually, after a divorce from my my first wife, who we're still good friends today, we have three boys from that marriage, who are all fathers themselves today. I moved more south towards the South Bend area. And my ambition, as I just spoke about, far outweighed my little town of Berrien Springs. So South Bend was the next closest mecca. And here I am. I always wanted to be an entrepreneur. And I'll tell you that from my very beginnings, I remember in the 80s. So I'm dating myself big time here. In the early 80s, I took a dresser, turned it on its side, took all the drawers out, turned it on its side, broke all the little prongs out that hold the drawers in place. And that was my desk. My mom was so mad that I did that. And that was my desk. I wanted to be a businessman. I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I hired my little sister as my assistant. And this is before computers and smartphones and everything like that. I had a little fake desk phone. I knew what I wanted to be from the early days. And I wanted to represent brands. I didn't know, again, what that meant yet. But I would later realize that it meant to be a marketing agent. And that's by trade. I'm a marketing agent. I'm a cinematographer, of course. That's part of all that. But I'm a marketing agent. I represent brands the way maybe sports agents represent their athletes. Obviously, a much lower scale. But likewise, if LeBron James wants a deal with Sprite, LeBron's not going to call up Sprite. LeBron has agents to handle that. If XYZ Garage wants to sponsor a little league team, they don't do it. They call me. I'm their agent. I negotiate the best deal. I make sure the logo is in place. If a client wants to get 16 billboards around the community and launch them, they go through me rather than them contacting the billboard companies. So by trade, for the last 34 years, I've been a marketing agent. I launched this company, TJ21 Media Group, about 14 years ago. Started out with just my oldest son and an intern, and we grew significantly over the years. And here we are today in the heart of downtown South Bend, about 12 to 14 employees servicing clients all over the country.
Wow. So you talked about the desk, making the desk, but in those like early years, like let's say middle school, high school, maybe even before that, how did your entrepreneurial spirit do a lemonade stand or, you know, book drive? Yeah. How did it show up?
In eighth grade, I joined the journalism class for the newsletter and then eventually the yearbook for eighth grade. But I couldn't just sit in the back and just do nothing. I just felt like I was just trying to be quiet because I'm just another kid, I didn't want to do anything. But then I was just one day I couldn't handle anymore. I raised my hand. It's like, I have an idea. Let's do this a little better. And here I am, eighth grader doing this, right? By the time I got into high school, I was doing the same thing. And then I started this little baseball thing. Again, I want to preface, no computers. So everything was the original days of copy, where you cut things out, put them on paper, then you pressed them, put them in the printer or put them in the copy machine. I started this fantasy. It wasn't quite fantasy. It was baseball, a baseball magazine. And I used all the little background I had of doing things. And I created this baseball magazine that was strictly about fantasy before there was actual fantasy. And it was really fun. And I think I just saw that my desire to lead and be somewhere where I can create something special was so emergent even then, even my early days. And then one thing led to another. I got my hands on a camera in my early 20s and I wanted to film things. I wanted to create stuff. I was a little, when I was a kid, I was a little in the Big Brothers Big Sisters program. Then when I was 21, I became a mentor. And then many years later in my 30s, I joined the board of directors for St. Joseph County at the time. And then many years later after that, I became the president of the board of directors, and I orchestrated an opportunity for us to grab other counties that didn't quite have the ability to do what we were doing with St. Joseph County. By the time my tenure was over, we had 11 counties under our belt, and we were changing the world. And that was always my goal from day one. When my mom passed away a couple of years ago, we had the very fortunate opportunity to talk to our mother until the moment she took her last breath. And as we were doing that, one of the things she told me is that just continue to change the world. Everything you do, let it be with purpose and passion. God gave you a reason to be here, and I want you to keep doing it, TJ.
Wow.
And I continue to do that every day. Every story we tell, every production that we do. I was filming in Oklahoma yesterday, and even those stories, we made sure that everything we did was with purpose and passion.
You know, you talked about picking up your camera, and a lot of times people in your field, or actually in the video production field, they come to it through kind of what I call a technical background. They're interested in, oh, I got the camera and stuff like that. You kind of came to it as a tool. I mean, you were interested in the marketing. What can this tool do for me? So tell us a little bit about that integration that you did. Is, okay, I'm picking up a camera, and I don't know if you had any background in camera earlier in your life, and the learning curve to do that to meet your goals in marketing.
That's a great question, Larry. So actually, it wasn't so much like, oh, let's see how this thing works. And no, I wasn't big into photography or anything when I was young. What happened is that I was big into sports, and I became, you know, a good baseball player, but not good enough to go pro or go anything beyond that. So I did what a lot of people do. I became a weekend warrior and started playing slow pitch softball. Well, it turns out I became pretty good at that, and I started to advance and do some cool things. And I was like, you know what? I write websites. I've been writing websites since I was a teenager. I was there at the birth of the internet when it became more public. And I was like, I'm going to buy every domain I can. And I owned every domain I can think of when I was a kid. I just didn't know we had to renew them. So TJ.com today is worth like over $250,000. And that could have been mine if I knew I had to renew it. But anyway, I knew that I wanted to market things, right? So I had this opportunity. I'm not going to say gift. I don't believe that people were born with this gift unless you're like an Einstein, but I was born with this skill and the ability to be good at something. So I became good at playing ball, and I combined my skills with web design, shooting and filming and stuff with what I do as a ball player. And I ended up building a team that became the first team in the country to have a full working website dedicated to this amateur softball team. Mm. And it became so popular. We had over 1 million hits a year. Then I started shooting videos, and I would do an ESPN style interview with players after the game. And nobody was doing this kind of thing. And that thing just became one thing, became another. And I was
passion squared.
Yes, exactly. It just kind of, when your passion meets your purpose, and then boom, everything just came together, and it was great. So that's kind of, Larry, the little bit of the origin, how that kind of happened. And still today, I combine everything I can into one. We provide a fantastic, passionate service here at this company that combines the ability to serve people, but also the ability to represent a product and a company's brand with the utmost professionalism.
It's kind of, my father always said, you're going to be working a very long time. Make sure it's something you love to do.
Well, and a lot of people come to your field with a college background. Of course, you just came right up through the hard knocks. So it looks like from your background, and you didn't. But I guess if someone was interested in doing what you do, obviously you would have to spot to see if they have the same passion you did when you were starting out at 18, 21 there. But what advice would you give them?
So the people that I have working for me now range in age from 19, just one of our new hires is 19, up to 35, 34. And all those people, They range in backgrounds. Most of them have a college degree in media, new media, marketing, something like that. Our director of marketing went to school for marketing. But really, that wasn't the most important thing that appealed to me. I'm looking for A-plus people, okay? I'm looking for people that want to be part of the change, want to be part of the difference. When they come in here, they can't come in, and this is no disrespect to anybody who works in a factory, but you can't come in showing up at 5 a.m., you put something together, you give your 100%, then you go home at 2:30, right? That isn't how it is here. Your job every day is to be the best representation for that client that you can be. My advice that I give to young people, and I'm not trying to talk people out of going to college. I went to college. It's important. However, I have one daughter now. She's 20 or 19. She's going to be 20. And she's just not a college person. But guess what? She is an A-plus employee with people, with the company she's with. She is fantastic. Her skill set is off the chart. She's intelligent. She just doesn't feel that she wants to go to school. Now, if I had to choose between two people sitting in front of me, one is a four-year, they got a BS, BA, I don't care what, they can have a master's degree. And they're okay, they're good. And I got somebody with no college experience at all, but they got it. They got that skill set. And I just got this feeling about them. I'm going with that guy anytime over the first guy.
Street smart.
So get involved. I wanted to answer your question later more directly. My advice is get involved.
Right.
Get an internship. Get an opportunity to follow someone like myself or someone else in this industry and learn. Absorb it like a sponge and take it all in.
You know, you can learn from college, but a lot of times spoke to a lot of classes, mostly communications classes. What I told them, I says, you will learn things in college and knowledge, but I says, what you need to do, come out of college, be the eternal student. So you need to be hungry to learn more all the time. And I said, and life is more like sometimes a river, you know, and you're in this little skiff and you don't know what shore you're going to end up on, but all of a sudden the skill set that you kind of had in the background, in my case, maybe like photography, all of a sudden that becomes a primary thing, but you need to take command of where you land, because sometimes you don't have control exactly where you land. And so,
for sure.
I agree with you. I mean, I have a doctorate, but I always tell people, I says, you know, that doesn't make me smarter. I said, the things I learned in life in theater, which is what it was in, are stuff that I actually learned in the school of hard knocks. And sometimes what you do for your degrees is you are just kind of regurgitating that okay, here's this for this class. So what's some of your favorite projects?
Oh man. 34 years of doing this, they just almost get to the point where they run together. We worked with some fantastic celebrities over the years. We worked with great nonprofits. I probably will say the work that we do with some of our nonprofits that are really changing the world. Big Brothers Big Sisters is going to be, I'm going to be biased, obviously, but I have done so many video projects with Big Brothers Big Sisters over the years. I think actually at one time we were at like 130 different video projects we've done for them. And every one of them, the goal was to change someone's life, to inspire someone else to get involved. So whether I've filmed Garth Brooks, John Mellencamp, Kid Rock, whatever it may be, these are all great things to do. And they look cool with pictures on my wall here in my office and stuff. But the real things was when we, as producers, whether we're filming or cinematographers, or whether there were editing, which is what the majority of people are out here doing right this very second. When we're moved by the story, that's when I know that it's being changed, that lives are being changed. I'm changing those lives, you know? And if we can make something that makes someone else watch that piece that says, oh my gosh, I want to get involved. Super, super short story. We were doing an event for Big Brothers Big Sisters, and I just shown the story, and the man that was running for sheriff of our county was a guest at my table. He was in the election to run for it, and he was an underdog, a 26-1 underdog, by the way. And he looked back at me after the video, tears coming down his eyes, and he said, I remember him saying, wow. And he turned to his wife and he said, I'll make this promise right now, whether I win or not, I'm getting a Bigs with Badges program started in our county. And he went on to win. We did represent him from that standpoint, from politicals. We did a lot of his campaign stuff. He won by 13 votes, largest or smallest margin of victory ever for his particular category. And then he lived up to what he promised. He had a Bigs with Badge program going on. He got a little right away, and he started changing the life of other young people. That's what I wanted to do. I want to change lives. So you asked me, what some of the stuff I'm working on or that I've worked on. It's things like working with the Logan Center with developmentally disabled adults, or mentoring programs, or working with homeless and telling stories, drug addiction. You know, we work with Life Treatment Center and Allendale Treatment to tell stories of people that are persevering through some of the most difficult times in their lives. Those are my passion projects. That's what I love doing.
So TJ, is it mostly only large projects, or do you take on smaller projects like the artists just starting a website and that's what they're interested in, like that, taking that first step? Is that?
Absolutely. We pride ourselves on working with startups. We, some, they've come in here, they'll sit in this chair. There was a kid in here this morning, 23 years old. I just have this idea. I want to do this. I want to do that. And I was like, this is so exciting because I was sitting in that chair 40 years ago. I know what it's like to want to do that. Right. Well, first thing I'm going to do is this, you know, we got to get you established. We got to buy your domain. We got to establish this, this, and this. So I love working with them. And if they believe and trust in me, not because I'm a good marketing agent, but because I've been where they are. And if you just listen to me, things will be successful. Now, if you sell a product that is bad, if you suck at what you do, I can't promise you that you'll be successful that way. But what I can promise you is that people will know about you. So I love working with small projects. A number of our clients, I'd say probably more than half, if not significantly more than half, are those small business owners. Might be even three quarters now that I think about it. So we love working with our small businesses. You know, we're a small community. You know, South Bend is not a huge town, right? And we love working with our small companies here. They have limited budgets. We build them websites every day. We build marketing packages. We're handling their social media. We're going to meet with vendors for them, depending on the packages they're on with us, of course. And in many cases, we're traveling the country and we're filming for them.
Exciting, because everybody needs to start, you know, they need to take that first step.
Yep. Before you can make that first step, you got to get a little bit of a background.
Right.
What brought you and Shireen together for the Love of Art Fair? I mean, she speaks so highly about you.
I love Shireen. She just called me this morning. And I don't know if it was through my wife or how it was. Oh, I know how it was. I apologize. I was representing a client that was a big sponsor of hers. And like most of my clients, if you're interested in gaining sponsorship or you want to work with them, they defer them to me. So it falls on my desk to vet it, to find out if this is legit, if we want to do this. So I met her that way. And I was like, yeah, my client would be interested in doing this again. But unlike in the past, we need to make sure that we're represented better. I need to see our name more prominent, blah, 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 blah. Well, after that happened, I went to the event and I started falling in love with art. I never really had in the past. And I just, when I see some of these pieces, they spoke to me. I was inspired by them, and I would buy a piece here, a piece there. And the next year came along and she was like, hey, is blah, blah, blah going to do it? I said, well, they're not, but I want to get involved. So I eventually became the presenting sponsor of her event. And I started collecting art every year at this event, and it spread, it infected me. And I'm going to other art shows and I'm seeing things. We were just out in Las Vegas filming a few weeks ago, and a street vendor was making this incredible art with spray paint. And if you were here live, I would show you right away how beautiful this is. I took a video of it and created this little video, put it in a picture frame and hung it on the wall next to the art that I bought.
Wow.
Oh, wonderful.
I just love art. I'm inspired by art. I have some incredible pieces all over my office here with some amazing artists.
You know, but TJ, I found like two songs on the internet that you wrote and a very lovely like poem to your wife. Have you written more than the two songs?
Oh yeah. I've written quite a few things. And I wrote a book when I was a teenager. It's called Maybe Tomorrow It Won't Rain. Corny name. I was a teenager with a broken heart, and it inspired me to write. And I realized that I have a little bit of a gift for it. So I've written songs. If anybody here in my office even heard me, they'd make fun of me. But I've written songs for my kids. I wrote a beautiful song for my daughter when she turned 18, going off on her own. I wrote stuff that's made my wife, you know, cry her eyes out. So yeah, I've written quite a bit.
So if you were not doing what you're doing, what would you like to do? Or the other alternative to that question is, what do you like to do for fun that's not marketing?
I love boating. My wife and I have bought a boat a few years back, and we just upgraded to a newer boat a year or two ago. I'm a grandfather of seven. I'm a father of seven, and I'm a very big family man. I love traveling. My wife and I love Disney World. We love to go there a lot. We take our staff there once a year as a big retreat, which we're doing here in a few weeks. So that's probably it. You know, I love boating and stuff. You know, I love baseball. I love being involved with sports. I love my Notre Dame. Unfortunately, this recent events kind of makes it sad. So I'm a big sports guy. I love boating and I love my family.
Oh, so excellent. What replaced Big Brothers, Big Sisters in your life? Because that took up a big chunk of emotional energy.
Yeah, I'm still involved with mentoring. I'm involved with another small, very, very small startup organization working with mentors. So I'm doing that now. I am very much involved with addictions and trying to fight against that, to try to help people that are in rehab. You're always going to be fighting addiction the rest of your life. And that's one of my passions right now. Just had lunch with a board of directors with Life Treatment Center here in South Bend, where I've been serving for the last 10, 12 years. That's probably one of my bigger passions now, but it is all comes down to helping to change the world. That's my driving force. I know we're short on time, but I'll tell you right now, my number one goal, my dream job, someone's going to come along with a big grant or some big endowment. And they're going to say, TJ, we heard about your passion. We know you want to tell stories that people want to see, but they can't afford it. I want to cover it. Let me pay for every passion project you do, so your business can still operate. You can still do all these things. And I'm going to take care of it, so you don't have to worry about how it's going to be paid for. That's
so what's
dream.
That first passion project?
What will it be?
Yeah. What would it be?
Probably children that are growing up without a mentor. Mentoring has just always been a huge part of my life, and I want to be able to continue to tell those stories.
Well, we appreciate you coming on. We only have about a minute left. Any projects just down the road in just in the foreseeable future that we might be interested in?
Yep. We work with a huge organization called the USA Patriots. We've been doing it for a few years, and we'll be going to their spring training. They're a softball team that lost limbs, arms, legs from battle. They served our country. That's one of our passions we love working with. So in January, we'll be heading down to Florida to film their spring training.
Excellent. Fun. Well, and in our last minute here, tell us about how people can find out about you online, contact information, all that.
Well, you know, the beauty of what I do is if you just look me up, I'm everywhere. I always joke, hey, just Google me. But TJ21 Media Group is the company. Just if you type in TJ21, we'll pop up on every single thing there is. And of course, TJ21.com, easiest way to find us.
Excellent. And you'll be at the For the Love of Art Fair February 7th and 8th. I assume maybe one or both days, actually. Are you going to be shooting footage on site? I mean, I know the stuff is already done, pre-production that you've already done, but you're going to be doing anything of the actual art show itself?
I'll film there. Plus, we'll film the day before to get people to come out the day before. So,
sounds excellent. Well, we appreciate coming on Art in the Air and sharing your incredible marketing journey. It's TJ Jorgensen. You'll see him around at the For the Love of Art Fair, February 7th and 8th. You can see his website, TJ21.com in South Bend. Thank you so much for coming on Art in the Air and sharing your great journey.
Larry, Esther, thank you so much.
Yeah, it's really been delightful. Thank you.
Our show relies on the support of not only our show underwriters, but also our listeners who make donations to this station. Your support of this station will ensure Art in the Air may continue bringing you the best of the arts and culture programming for Northwest Indiana and beyond. If Art in the Air is important to you, please consider supporting this station with a one-time contribution or even making an ongoing sustaining contribution. For information on how to make a contribution, go to this station's website or our show website, breck.com/AOTA. And thank you. Did you know that you can also listen to Art in the Air anytime as a podcast at Lakeshore Public Media's website, through Lakeshore's app, or from NPR? Plus, it's available on demand from your favorite podcast website, including TuneIn, Spotify, Amazon Music, Pandora, Apple Music, iHeartRadio, and many more. If you have a smart speaker like Amazon Alexa, Google Assistant, or Apple Siri, just tell it to play Art on the Air to hear the latest episode.
Hi, this is Ken Hunley, and you're listening to Art on the Air from Lakeshore Public Media at 89.1 FM and WVLP at 103.1 FM.
We are happy to welcome Becky Canine to Art on the Air. Becky is a mixed media artist enchantingly combining oil painting with collaged elements. Her work encourages thoughtful reflection about the environment and humans' role in it. She previously taught art from kindergarten to college level. Now she paints full time. She will be an exhibiting artist at the For Love of Art Fair in South Bend, Indiana on February 7th and 8th of 2026. Thank you for joining us on Art on the Air. Aloha and welcome, Becky. Very, very wonderful meeting you.
Oh, thank you. Great to meet you and great to be here.
Well, Becky, our audience always wants to know kind of the background of our people. I call it their origin story. So how you got from where you were to where you now? Tell us all about Becky.
So I grew up in a very small town in Illinois. I like to say really the only art experience I got outside of school was watching the graffiti go by on the trains. We were a big train community. So I did have some really great teachers who encouraged my creativity throughout elementary, middle, and high school. When I went to college, I kind of didn't know what I wanted to pursue, but I knew I loved to paint. So I got a BFA in painting. And then after college, kind of the same thing. I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. I went and worked on a cruise ship for a while. And then I went to Europe for a little while. And then I came home and started to pursue art making. And I just felt a little disillusioned. There seemed to be a real disconnect between the art world and the rest of the world. And I wanted to make things that connected to people and have that conversation and not make art that was just referencing itself. So I decided to go into art education, kind of try to make those connections. So I went back to school. I got my master's degree and my teaching certificate and taught, like you said in the intro, I taught everything from community college to preschool and everything in between. Kind of during that time, I moved to Lafayette, Indiana, where I am now, taught high school, which I loved. I loved interacting with the students. I loved seeing their creativity develop. But I really missed the practice of making art myself. And between being a spouse and a parent and a teacher, I just didn't have time. So something had to give and teaching's what gave. So I've been making art full time now for, I think, 8 years. So yeah, I think that got us to present day.
Yeah, that's really so. So no painting really in high school?
I did painting. I took art classes. Our school really just had like art 1, 2, 3, and 4. Well, I think it was just 1 and 2, and then it was independent study. So I painted. I didn't see a lot of art. I didn't know what was happening in the art world. I didn't know what had happened in art history. So I was kind of creating things without having that history behind it.
Sure. And sometimes art history, while it is fabulous and wonderful and I adore it, if you're not seeing like current things that are happening, there's like a distance between what you're looking at in the book or on a slide or even in a museum compared to like seeing your contemporaries, I guess, doing work.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what was your style then when you started painting? Was it realistic? Was it abstract? Was it?
It was pretty abstract. At least in college, it was pretty abstract. Very symbolic though. Very, I don't know, like most, you know, late teens, early 20s, I thought it was very deep and self-referential. But I think what I do now is much more interesting.
You know, like curiosity about your teaching, the range of people, how to approach like the preschool versus like community college. And you said how kind of high school you saw as things that you were like, but was there a particular age? And, you know, how did you adapt to the teaching of the wide variety of ages you did?
Well, I didn't do much of it at the same time, so I was able to kind of adapt as I went. But that's something that you have to learn as a teacher. I mean, I think when I first started, I had these huge expectations for what was possible just because I wished I'd been exposed to it. So I wanted to expose them to everything all at once and have them trying out all these new ideas. And kind of looking back now, I realized that, wow, I challenged probably a lot more than I needed to. But yeah, I mean, you just try to see what kids are interested in and what they want to try out and like challenge a little bit. But like I said, sometimes I might have bit off more than I could chew.
And as a follow-up, do you have any classes maybe for now about maybe technique and everything besides your own art practice? Is that, you know, do you ever set that aside?
I do occasionally. The Arts Federation here in Tippecanoe County does a great job with community outreach, and I've taught for them several times. which is just, it's fun to get out of my studio and interact with people in that way again.
So college was abstraction. And at what point did you develop your, and then I read that you, so I guess you were doing primarily acrylics then because you worked, I read,
mainly
first in acrylics before you transitioned into oils. So how did you develop your current style, mixing the collaging with the oil painting and your kind of whimsical theme?
So, in college, I started painting with oils. I had a fantastic teacher, Kathleen French, kind of taught me how to use oils, and I love them so much. Would never go back to acrylics. My style now is kind of a long story. I was teaching. I was wanting to make art, but I wasn't too much. And I was at a visit to the library, and on the free shelf they had old knitting catalogs, and they had these just really interesting poses of the models in their sweaters. And I grabbed it and I cut out all the little outfits, and I kind of sat them around on my art table for a while, trying to figure out what to do with them because they just seemed to be telling a story. And I didn't want to make them into little portraits. I didn't want to paint different people in them. So that's where the animals came from. Because the animals, I think, really can, we can see ourselves in them almost more than we can see ourselves in a person if it's not us. So, if there's a bear doing something, it could become anybody doing that thing. So I started painting animals in those little knitted outfits. And I realized if I could paint them in these paper clothes, I could paint them in real clothes. So I started collaging old dresses and embroidered baby clothes onto panels and painting around and on those and trying out photographs.
The actual. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I just like,
oh, I've seen your work in shows. It's really quite beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
I like how you dress them in, like newsprint and music and everything. I'm looking at one with the bird inside of, like, looks like a library, sitting in a chair wrapped in sheet music and everything. So it's interesting how you take, and there's a lot of detail in that. I mean, it really is.
Yeah, I like the added history and added elements that including that gives, you know, the, if I put something in the painting, it's there for a reason. So like the music is from a particular song that has to do with the subject of the painting. And if it's a book page, the subject of the book has to do with the subject of the painting.
And the clothes are generally vintage. At least the pieces that I saw, they were vintage.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't get anything new for the paintings. It's all something that I feel like would get thrown away otherwise.
Yeah. So this is kind of maybe a silly question, but what comes first, the frame or the painting? Because sometimes those frames are just like so perfect for your paintings.
Well, honestly, the frames almost always come first just because I have this big collection of frames. So I kind of grab one, I can cut a panel to fit the frame and then make a painting that a lot of times is at least somewhat inspired by the frame.
Inspired, yeah. I would say quite a few of them are inspired by, or they seem to fit just perfectly with the frame. So you have a lot of established themes to your paintings. And so one, how do you come up with these themes? And then do you work until you exhaust that theme before you go to the next? Or do you sort of keep them running and just add to them as, you know, the painting inspires you?
Yes.
Yes.
I think I do try to keep with the theme until I've exhausted it. But there are always different ideas that pop up that, you know, I might go on a little tangent with something else and then revisit it, or think I've done everything I want to do with the theme and then another idea pops up and I go back to it.
So what is, like the themes, I'm interested in how they come about because they're so very interesting. And so you've got the environmental ones, but then you also have astrology and storytelling, reimagined journeys. I mean, they're just so interesting. So you start a series of paintings and then you come up with a...
Like you mentioned the astrology. I mean, a lot of things is just things I happen upon that I find really interesting. And I think it's my way of conversing with the subject is to create paintings about it, that the astrology series, I just happened upon this, I think it was a 17th century writer who was writing these super detailed astrology descriptions, like down to hair color and eye color and all these very intricate personality quirks. And I just thought it would be really interesting to paint those as animals. So I found animals that kind of fit all of those descriptions.
Did you do all of the?
I did
all
not.
Of them because I didn't. Okay. Yeah.
I did not. That was something where I did the ones that were super interesting and then kind of I've left it off. And I've angered some people who wanted to see their astrology sign and I didn't do it.
And I'm looking at the planets one right now, which is very unique. You have the background like the planets and then you have the individual characters, animal characters for each one. It's kind of very interesting how you selected those and everything. So I was wondering, you know, you've really mastered this art quite, you know, and I know artists will say, well, you're always learning. And I understand that. Is there something outside of oil painting in your thing that you'd like to try that you haven't?
I've considered and dabbled a little bit with adding more three-dimensional elements. So instead of, I mean, now I use collage, but it's all very flat. So that's something that I am toying with a little bit and thinking about making my paintings more sculptural.
Okay. And even like something completely different, like going into sculpture or 3D art of some kind, or I don't know. Sometimes, you know, you master something. So, well, I want to try what, has that thought crossed your mind?
I think painting is something that I've loved since I was a little kid. I don't see myself going, I don't see myself leaving that.
After a brief pause, we'll return to our guest on Art on the Air. Art on the Air listeners, do you have a suggestion for a possible guest on our show? Whether it's an artist, musician, author, gallery, theater, concert, or some other artistic endeavor that you are aware of, or a topic of interest to our listeners, email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck.com. And we're back with our guest today on Art on the Air, Becky Canine, on Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM, and on WVLP, 103.1 FM.
You know, so I think it was on Instagram. It looked to my eye to be like hundreds of canvases waiting for you that you had prepared. That was, and I looked at it and it didn't look daunting at all. It looked exciting, you know, probably because of all the different shapes and styles of frames.
Yeah, I'm glad you felt that way, because that's what I felt when I was looking at them, like just so many possibilities and new directions to go in.
Oh, completely.
Yeah.
And I could see just going, oh, you know, I can see picking out the shape or the frame that I wanted to, or frames that I wanted to work on. It's very exciting.
Yeah.
And I see on your website, you've done murals. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I've done a few murals. I just finished one recently here in Lafayette. I do maybe one every couple of years. And it's a really fun challenge. Working that big is a challenge for me, working with paint that's not blendable and malleable like oils are is a challenge. So it's also
such a different style from your paintings that you're showing. So
yeah,
uses different sensibilities. And wasn't there one project where you worked with students or children on it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've done a couple kind of in conjunction with classes where, you know, we're kind of planning the mural together and then painting it as a group.
So what do you draw your inspiration from? And like choice of animals, so how you choose for that, and then choose the clothes and the whole formation process of that. You know, I'm sure, you know, you talked about starting with the frame, but after you do that, like, okay, am I going to do a mongoose or whatever you pick? And then how do you know what that process is?
It varies. I mean, there are some where it's just, I see an animal and think that is absolutely adorable. I need to paint that and, you know, kind of develop a story from there. Probably more often though, there's something that I'm interested in. And then I find the animal that goes with it. Like I've been looking into keystone species that are, there are species that's kind of integral to the survival of that particular habitat. So in doing that, I've researched different keystone species in different habitats. And then I'm doing paintings based on those. So the animal itself becomes a little bit more of a subject matter in those cases where it's not as much a character. But then I think I like to make things difficult on myself. So I'm not just doing the keystone species. I'm also referencing a creation goddess in each of those as well. So it's the animal is playing the role of the creation goddess, but then it's also being itself as a keystone species. So yeah, that's what I'm doing right now. So that's starting with the animal and then going, the story comes next.
Which animals are you doing?
I've done an American alligator, a crane, and right now I'm working on a mountain lion.
Oh, nice. Have you ever done an otter? I didn't see an otter amongst.
Yeah, I've painted several otters. And actually, there was an otter in that series as well. She's actually an Irish creation goddess. So she's the Hag of Bera. So she's very cloaked, but it's still an otter. Yeah.
So what does Becky like to do outside of painting? Obviously, you love painting and that's your, but is there something that you love to do? You know, obviously, you know, family, kids, but, you know, tell us about something you like to do that's not painting.
Are you still an outdoor girl?
I am. Actually, I just got back from Peru. I hiked part of the Inca Trail in October. So yeah, I like to see new places. I like to travel. I like to be outdoors. Yeah, those are probably the big things. And include my family in those things.
Did you see any animals that gave you inspiration along the way?
I saw a lot of llamas and alpacas that, yeah, were asking to be painted for sure.
I know, they're so adorable.
They're very cute.
So you tell us about how you connected with For the Love of Art Fair with Shireen and how that, you know, and I know that's probably not the only exhibit you do, but tell us about that process, how you connected and some of the other exhibits you might be doing.
So I really lucked into For the Love of Art Fair. It like came across my social media feed. And so I reached out to Shireen and said, this looks great. How do I be a part of it? And it went from there. So I'm really, really happy that found me.
I can bet she had a huge smile on her face when she saw your work.
How many years have you been doing it with her?
This will be my third year.
Okay.
So I'm fairly new to it. I know there's some artists who've done it for years and years, but she's done a great job of collecting artists for this just interesting work and a really good variety.
We agree.
Yeah, it's a great... the whole experience and all the artists that we've interviewed for the shows always, you know, rave about being in. First of all, it's indoors, which is a great, that alone is kind of a big salvation, but it's just, she really covers it all really well. The whole experience there, including the music, live music and everything like that.
Well, especially it's so nice to, because generally artists have to go to warmer climates to have fairs in the winter. So it's really nice to have something local during the winter time.
Absolutely. Yeah. And being inside is great no matter what time of year. So that, at least for an art fair. So it's really nice.
So have you had a solo show? Have they all been in a room together?
Yes. The Planet series that you were referencing earlier, that was a solo show that I did. I've had 3 solo shows, I think, and then several small group shows and then than art fairs.
Must be impressive altogether.
Thank you.
So, and speaking of shows out beyond the For the Love of Art Fair, do you have anything coming up that past that February?
I don't actually. Most of my art fairs that I do and shows are in summer and early fall. So this is the For the Love of Art Fair, even though it's in February, I kind of consider that the end of my season.
And do you stay mostly in the Midwest or do you travel far and wide?
I do. Mostly Illinois and Indiana.
Consistently the same shows or do you?
There are several shows that I found that I love and I do every year. I try to add a new one in every so often just to try it out.
What else do you do locally?
I do Penrod in Indianapolis. There's a Sugar Creek Arts Fair, which is in Normal, Illinois, that I do. And then several in the Champaign-Urbana area in Illinois, which is where I'm from originally, or at least close to it.
You should try out some of the things in Northwest Indiana. We have the Chestnut Art Fair, Lubesnik, and if you've been to, or at least attend them to see what they're like.
Or Krazzle.
Oh, yeah, Krazzle. They're true, yeah.
Yeah, there are so many great shows that I definitely need to look into.
So, Becky, we're just about a minute and a half or so here away from the end, but we're going to give you a chance to tell your audience, you know, how people can find out about you, website, other social media and things like that.
Sure. So my website is just my name, beckykanine.com. You can see my work there, plus work that I have for sale is listed on my website. And then Instagram, I'm Becky Canine Paintings, and same on Facebook.
Are your works ever, like, let's say, lithographed? Do you have, like, available reprints of the primary work?
Mm-hmm. I do limited edition prints, and those are on my website.
Excellent. Well, if you have a chance, you can see Becky at the For the Love of Art Fair, February 7th and 8th. That's at the South Bend Century Center. It's the indoor-out fair. So once you're in there, you can stay nice and warm, see her work. You can see her website at her work at beckycanine.com. If you go to our website, you click on her picture, and it'll take you right to there. She's also available on Facebook, Instagram, and such. Becky, thank you so much for coming to Art in the Air and sharing your arts and whole journey.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you. It was really pleasurable.
Great to meet you both.
Greetings from Billy and Renee Foster.
We are musicians, jazz radio show hosts, and advocates for the arts.
Congratulations
to Art on the Air and its dedicated hosts, Larry Breckner and Esther Golden.
We want to thank you for this outstanding program and exceptional service to our arts community.
No better way to stay informed as to what's happening in the arts than to listen to this informative show.
Not only do we get the information, but the opportunity to listen to the thoughts of the artists themselves.
We wish you many wonderful years of success.
We'd like to thank our guests this week on Art on the Air, our weekly program covering the arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. Art on the Air is heard Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM, also streaming live at lakeshorepublicmedia.org, and is available on Lakeshore Public Media's website as a podcast. Art on the Air is also heard Friday at 11 a.m. and Monday at 5 p.m. on WVLP 103.1 FM, streaming live at wvlp.org. If you have a smart speaker like Amazon Alexa, Google Assistant, or Apple Siri, just tell to play Art on the Air to hear the latest episode. Our spotlight interviews are heard every Wednesday on Lakeshore Public Media. Thanks to Dee Dotson, Vice President of Radio Operations for Lakeshore Public Media, and to Greg Kovach, WVLP's Station Manager. Our theme music is by Billy Foster with a vocal by Renee Foster. We'd like to thank our current underwriters for Lakeshore Public Media, Ember Forge Consulting, thoughtful marketing and digital learning built to express your purpose and grow your reach. Learn more at emberforgeconsulting.com/grow. And for WVLP, Walt Reitinger of Paragon Investments. So we may continue to bring you Art in the Air, we rely on you, our listeners and underwriters, for ongoing financial support. If you're looking to support Art on the Air, we have information on our website at breck.com/AOTA, where you can find out how to become a supporter or underwriter of our program in whatever amount you are able. And like I say every week, don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good. You'll feel so good about supporting Art on the Air. If you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts, arts-related event, or exhibit, please email us at AOTA@breck.com. That's AOTA@breck.com. BRECH.com, or contact us through our Facebook page. Your hosts were Larry Breckner and Esther Golden, and we invite you back next week for another episode of Art on the Air.
Aloha, everyone. Have a splendid week.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know. Esther and Larry are on the air today. Stay in the know.